Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Shreveport, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, national mortgage lender. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing today? Tomorrow, the NFL divisional round of the playoffs. And so today, wall-to-wall coverage of the four games tomorrow. I can't wait for this. Coming up here on the show, we'll have Steve Weich, NFL Network reporter and analyst, join us coming up in hour number three to give us his thoughts on all four of these divisional round games. We'll also discuss the Dallas Cowboys trying to ride Ezekiel Elliott to an upset. We'll discuss whether Chiefs fans should be inherently terrified of playing the Colts yet again. We'll talk about Antonio Brown perhaps playing his last game in Pittsburgh, posting a curious Instagram post about the Rooney family.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
And would the Arizona Cardinals truly trade Josh Rosen to go after Kyler Murray as their franchise QB? All of that coming up this morning on the show. And it also appears that the Cincinnati Bengals have their man, 35-year-old, stop me when you've heard of this story before, 35-year-old friend of Sean McVay, Zach Taylor, is reportedly the guy that the Bengals want. We will talk to Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd about that coming up on the show an hour from now. So all of that coming up, plus Mraz has his the gut pick.
Itchy nipple chub, bro.
And his football food of the week for divisional round. And you know what? Mraz has been great with his picks this year. He has dismantled huge freeze easily. And on top of that, when it comes playoff time, Mraz's football food of the week has to become playoff caliber as well. So we'll talk about that coming up later on in the hour. All of those things on the table, hit me up on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, you can get at me, DA on CBS. Let me ask you this question. Last week, we had three road teams win. Three of them. Philadelphia went to Chicago, survived the Cody Parkey doink doink. That sounds like an adult film. We had the Indianapolis Colts go down to Houston, put up a 21-point lead and hold on to win 21-7. We had the Chargers going into Baltimore and winning as well. And so my question is this weekend, I don't think all four home teams are winning. All four home teams are healthy favorites, but I don't think all four home teams are winning. My question is, who is going to pull the trick? What road team is going to pull the upset? What underdog is going to walk out with a victory? Because, again, I don't think we're going 4-for-4 with home teams. Last week, we went 1-for-4. So we start here. the Colts going to Kansas City. We know the terrifying prospect of the Chiefs fans looking at that horseshoe, that damn horseshoe, in the postseason again after all that heartbreak. The Philadelphia Eagles with the magic of Nick Foles going to the Superdome in New Orleans. The Dallas Cowboys, winners of the NFC East, traveling to Los Angeles. And the Chargers heading to Foxborough to take on the Patriots. Of the four road teams, who's going to pull the upset? It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
Rivers will settle under center. Takes the snap. Hands to Gordon. He's in the end zone. Touchdown! Chargers! Melvin Gordon with a one-yard dive.
I can just do what we did last week. We were at the exact same schedule from a practice standpoint, from a travel standpoint for the most part. And, you know, stick with what we've been doing. And I thought we managed all those kind of things very well last week and found a way to win. And that'll be a challenge again of trying to find a way again this week.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Chargers radio into Philip Rivers after last week's win over the Baltimore Ravens. Let me give you my potential upset picks. The road team's odds of winning going from 4-1. So least likely to most likely. Least likely to me is the Philadelphia Eagles. I know they're on this magic carpet ride with Nick Foles. I know they are defending Super Bowl champions. I know they've played really good football since Foles took over a month ago. I don't think they have a shot at beating the Saints of the Superdome, and here's why. The Saints can only lose this game if they play it in the 20s. Because the Eagles aren't going to score in the 30s and then outshoot the Saints. So the Eagles have to keep this thing in the 20s, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that with the Saints offense against that Eagles defense. I think resting the team in week 17, the bye week, and trying to kind of get back to where they were midseason when the Saints were flying, I think they'll get there. I think that this team is ready to really do their best work coming up this weekend. And I think the Saints win that game by 2 touchdowns. And I think the Saints hit the 34-point mark, something that the Eagles will not be able to catch them and do. The next least likely chance for an upset to me is also in the NFC, the Cowboys defeating the Rams. The only way Dallas pulls the upset in this one is if it's all Zeke all the time. The good news for the Cowboys is the Rams give up 5 yards per carry. They can be pushed around. That linebacking unit is light. They can be pushed around. Aaron Donald's a beast, but you can run on the Rams, and that's what the Cowboys do well. But I don't believe that Dak and that wide receiving core, even with the addition of Amari Cooper, is going to be able to stand blow for blow with the Rams offense. I think Los Angeles will make plays, will take shots, will get those shots and convert on them. So I think the Rams win that football game. That takes us to the AFC. The number two chance of pulling the upset road team-wise to me is the Colts. Look, there's no doubt that the history factors into how worried you would be if you're a Chiefs fan. And there's no doubt that Andrew Luck behind that offensive line with a much sturdier defense this year than they've had in the past has everything it would take to slow down and pull the upset of the Chiefs. They've got everything. But there's a part of me that believes the Patrick Mahomes story does not end this week. I believe Kansas City will find a way to win. I know it's terrifying to look at, but if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, you had to play week 17 to clinch that bye and the number one seed. That was big. I think had they rested everybody and had they kind of been going into this playoffs with a 2 or 3 week layoff, it really would have hurt them. They had to come to play week 17 and they did. They dispatched and dismantled the Raiders. I think there will be early goings of this game where it looks very close and you'll say, uh-oh, here it's going to go again. But ultimately, I believe Mahomes rises to the occasion. He's a big game player. He loves the big spotlight. He loves the moment. I think the Chiefs end up surviving and getting that monkey off their back of playoff losses, especially at Arrowhead. I think the most likely team to pull the upset on the road is the Chargers, and here's why. It's the only road team that has the better record than the home team. In this case, the Chargers were the better football team this year. And I know my penchant for hoping and wanting the Patriots dynasty to end, but this is really just looking at this thing from an X's nose standpoint. And I believe even Patriots fans understand this problem. The Chargers this year at 12-4 proved that they can do multiple things that always are problematic for the Patriots. Is how you beat the Patriots in the playoffs, rather. Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, veteran quarterback. Those are the two things, the two components you must have to beat the Patriots in the playoffs. Yes, we know that Mark Sanchez did it a number of times, or one time rather, went to the AFC title game twice, but only beat the Patriots once. But that was, again, a game that was built around run of the football and harassing Brady. And really, the pass rush of the Jets in 2010 was what won that game. If you get a pass rush on Brady, you can win, especially this year where we've seen specifically the Titans and the Lions and some other teams really get after Brady and really shake him up. And I think that ends up being the difference in this game, is that Bosa and Ingram are the two guys, the bookend pass rushers, that will collapse the pocket. And I've given you these stats over the course of this week about how Brady is taking less shots downfield. He doesn't have the game breakers downfield anymore. He doesn't have big play threats downfield. Gronk obviously is banged up and no longer what he once was, and I think Brady also is compensating for maybe some lack of arm strength at this point in his career, so he's playing everything underneath. What the Steelers did a month ago was they flooded the zone lower, in the lower tier, in the first 10 yards or so, and they said, let's make Brady beat us downfield, and he couldn't. And guess what the Chargers did last week? Exactly that, with their defensive lineup dropping seven defensive backs into coverage. They flooded passing lanes to prevent Lamar Jackson from finding anything downfield. And so I think they can utilize the same type of thing. Force Brady to make plays over your head. Throw into tight windows. Flood the interior, which means try to take away the quick stuff to Edelman. Take away the quick stuff to the underneath wide receivers and tight ends and running backs, James White and Gronk and Chris Hogan. And I think they can do that. And then you have on top of that, Phillip Rivers playing some of his best football ever, a veteran QB that has been here, done that. He's never won in Foxborough, 0-1 in the playoffs rather. Only, I should say, never won in Foxborough in the postseason. I think the Chargers stand the best chance at beating the home team because overall, they were the better team, but I think roster-wise, you would take the Chargers at most positions over the Patriots as well. One road team is going to win this weekend. I'm going to give you that. One road team's going to do it. Who's going to be that road team? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll take your thoughts, your calls, your tweets on this topic as we make our way through the show, and you take your phone calls coming up here next. Also, when we come back, this crazy story about how the Arizona Cardinals have their potential franchise quarterback in Josh Rosen. They might throw that out the window for the most combustible quarterback coach tandem ever. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
And he goes up to Chris. He says, hey, Chris, look who I've got here. He says, is that your son? Said, no, not my son. Try again. He says, is that Damon Amendola's son? He's 21 years old.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What a great story by Ian Eagle yesterday here on the DA Show. If you missed the Ian Eagle interview, you'll definitely want to catch that. Go back on our iTunes feed. You can listen to full episodes there or just the interviews. Just search DA and CBS. Also, go to our website, DAOnCBS.com, for full interviews there and everything that you may have missed or want to hear again. Also, you can check out the full interviews on YouTube. So plenty of places you can go back and listen to and watch the Ian Eagle interview.
DA, I never thought it would happen like this, but yes, I am scurvious.
It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet at me, DA on CBS, and submit your question. Be listening later on to the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Which road team pulls the upset this weekend? Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico, as always. 5 minutes could save you. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Switching to Geico, there's an easy, quick way. Homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Carson's next up in Boise, listening to 93.1 The Ticket there. Good morning, Carson. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Hey, so I just wanted to say, I don't know if the Chargers will beat the Patriots this weekend, but I know that Tom Brady doesn't have the greatest road history, because every time he's played Denver, because I'm a Denver fan, so every time he's played Denver in the AFC Championship, he's lost. Either it's because of the stadium or of the defense or whatever his history is in Denver, but I just want to say, if the Chargers don't beat them this weekend, I think they'll lose to the Chiefs next weekend.
Well, you're right about the Patriots and their road woes in the playoffs. The Patriots have lost to the Denver Broncos three times in this era at Mile High Stadium during the Belichick and Brady era in the postseason. And they also lost in Indianapolis in the 2006 AFC Championship game. It's been a long time since they've won on the road in the postseason. You've got to go all the way back to the divisional round in San Diego in 2006. Now, they don't play on the road often because they oftentimes have that home field advantage. But you're right, it's always a house of horrors going on the road in the playoffs for the Patriots. They're just not the same. Now, factor this in, the Patriots could win this game and then host the AFC title game if the Colts pull off the upset. But I think this is a particularly difficult matchup for the Patriots, namely because we know the Patriots aren't nearly as dominant as they have been in recent years, and the Chargers are essentially the best wild card we've seen in the AFC playoffs in maybe 10 years. They're 12-4. On week 17, a wild card squad was fighting for the number one seed in the AFC. That never happens. You know, this is very reminiscent of 1993 when the Giants and the Cowboys went into week 17 with the best records in the NFC, and winner got home field, loser was the wild card. That was the Emmitt Smith separated shoulder game. Emmitt had an impeccable, brilliant performance at a freezing cold Giant stadium, and they end up surviving against the Giants and got the one seed. The Giants ended up as a wild card and got bounced in the divisional round. The Cowboys ended up going to the Super Bowl. That's the difference between a situation like this where you go into week 17. We just don't see this often, but it should remind you of how good the Chargers really were this year, that they went into the final week of the regular season with a chance to be the one seed. Mraz, out of all of these road teams this week, one of them's going to win. Who's it going to be?
I have a hard time not thinking, if I'm leaning one, it's going to be the Colts. Because of history just tells me in Kansas City, and I think we forgot throughout this whole year, it's going to be Mahomes' first playoff start, and everything we've seen Andy Reid with the clock management if a game gets tight. And I think of all the favorites, the biggest Achilles heel unit is the Chiefs' defense. How many times did we talk about the Chiefs' defense down the stretch?
Bad.
They don't play last week. We kind of forget about it. And the only strength the Chiefs really had on defense was sacks. They were top five in the NFL in sacks. What neutralizes that? The Colts, with arguably the best offensive line in football this year. I just think this is a terrible draw and a terrible matchup for a team facing so much pressure in the Chiefs that I just can't help myself and like the Colts this week.
I think that's a fair point. I don't know if there, though, was a good pull for the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs. I mean, if you think about it, they could have gotten the Ravens again. Well, the Ravens went up there and nearly beat them, took them to overtime. They could have gotten the Chargers again. The Chargers did just beat them in overtime. Do they want the Patriots coming up there? I mean, they might have to in the AFC title game. I suppose the Texans, but I don't know if there was a good pull for that.
See, it's funny. If the Chiefs do get out of this week and they do end up with New England, I think New England is a far better matchup for them than the Chargers would have been or than the Colts are. I actually think of all the teams left, that's the team that the Chiefs should want to see. But on that note, at least with the Chargers, there's familiarity with playing them twice a year that you can lean on. We know them well. And I'm not on that Thursday night game a couple weeks ago. I mean, it took a real random, inspired comeback by the Chargers late, where they're hitting touchdown after touchdown. And I don't know that the Chargers would be able to pull that off again a second time around. And like we saw the Chargers with the Ravens, when you see the Ravens and Lamar Jackson for a second time, well, that might have been the playbook. So I actually do think the Colts, of all of them, were the worst draw, just based on matchups alone for the Chiefs.
If the Chiefs beat the Colts tomorrow, are you putting them in the Super Bowl then?
If they play the Patriots, I think they go to the Super Bowl. The Chargers is still a coin flip because the familiarity works both ways.
I would be terrified of the Chargers coming back.
I absolutely would be. But at home, Tom Brady and that Patriot team, which had not been great, having to go into Arrowhead with the demons being exercised as far as winning a home playoff game, that is dangerous territory. And I do think if the Chiefs were to win and they got the Pats, that the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl. Probably still if they get the Chargers, but that would be more cautious for me. I think if you're a Chief fan and you win, I'd rather face the Patriots than the Chargers. I'm rooting Patriot on Sunday if I'm a Chief fan.
I would agree. I don't think you want the Chargers coming back into town. I would agree. And knowing that the Patriots have such problems playing on the road in the postseason, I would agree. And this year, when the Patriots lost 5 games on the road this year, they went 3-5, and 2 of those wins were against the Dolphins, the Jets and the Bills in the division. So think about that. When they have played reasonable competition on the road this year, they have lost.
And like that article you read yesterday about Tom Brady and the low completions and how many yards and stuff, the best way to really beat the Chiefs if you want to get them to track meet is just to beat them vertically on their defensive backs. The Patriots are not built for that, where the Chargers would be.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Another point of that Chargers and Patriots game, we had Ian Eagle, as I mentioned, join us on the show yesterday. He said, and he's calling the game for Westwood One, he said, top to bottom, the Chargers are the more talented team. Now, it takes going on the road to Gillette Stadium and not beating yourself. The Patriots are brilliant at this. They will not turn the football over. They are not going to make mental miscues. They're going to force you to play the perfect game to beat them. But in this case, in this matchup, the Chargers are the more talented team. This Arizona Cardinals story is crazy because it's the most incredible double down of all time. We know that they drafted Josh Rosen, and we assume they hired Cliff Kingsbury to try to fix Josh Rosen or just to try to elevate Rosen. Rosen had moments this year, but largely a very spotty rookie season. So you hire Kingsbury. He's dropped off the turnip truck, the 30-year-old something handsome offensive guy turnip truck, which every team now in the NFL essentially wants one of those guys to run their team. It's just like a brat pack. It's like the 1980s and Breakfast Club. We just want those people in every movie, okay? So we assume that it's because Cliff Kingsbury comes in to try to work with Josh Rosen. And now we have the soundbite that was dug up from a couple of months ago where Cliff Kingsbury said, talking about a quarterback in Kyler Murray, that he knows well and knows well from the Big 12 and knows well from Texas Tech, said, I would draft Kyler Murray number one overall. I would draft him first overall. And lo and behold, the Cardinals have the number one draft pick. And so now the question is, well, would the Cardinals actually draft Kyler Murray? This is a guy that's 5'8 or 5'9. He's played baseball. He drafted by the A's. This year he wins the Heisman. But can that style that Murray plays at that height work in the NFL? And Adam Schefter reported yesterday that he had conversations, and sources tell him that it's not implausible that the Cardinals would trade Josh Rosen to draft Murray number one overall and pair him with Kingsbury. I think this is insanity. I think this is pure insanity. You already have a head coach that to me is a monster question mark. You've got a head coach that, again, if he looked like Freddie Kitchens with his track record and his coaching record and his lack of experience in the NFL, never gets that job. There's no way Freddie Kitchens, him with his Buddha belly and pouch and 3 chins and 5 o'clock shadow, there's no way that guy, Freddie Kitchens, could go 16 games under 500 in the Big 12, fire to Texas Tech, and not even have to redeem himself somewhere before he got a head coaching job in the NFL. There's no way. So I think Kingsbury is a huge risk at head coach in the NFL. But now you're going to double down and bring in a 5'8 or 5'9 quarterback? I just think that this is ridiculous. And to me, if you're the Cardinals and you look, this is the greatest gamble in NFL history. Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, Cliff and Kyler, the K&K boys. If you want to go down in flames, Hindenburg style, you do this. Because there is two monster question marks. Now you might say, well, DA, what about Kingsbury running his air raid offense, Big 12 style, with a Big 12 quarterback like Kyler Murray, who put up big numbers? Maybe they revolutionize football. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. There's about a 10% chance of that. There's a 90% chance that one or the other is a disaster. And so combining those together is the ultimate double down ever. In fact, I hope the Cardinals do this. I hope we see a completely unproven NFL head coach with a 5'8 quarterback running a Big 12 offense of the NFL. I want to see it. I want to see just how drastically terrible that combination is. I hope they do it. I hope. I want to see it. I mean, talk about taking the biggest risk of all time and then doubling down on it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Mraz has his up-the-gut picks for the NFL divisional round weekend. He's also got his football food of the week, the always undefeated. So we'll get to those coming up here next. Mraz, by the way, has been very, very good with his NFL picks this year. So good that he dispatched of Robbie Rosenhaus fairly easily. Prayers go up to Huge Freeze. A moment of silence for his banishment forever. Amen. So when we come back, all of that, we'll jump into your phone calls as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
First of all, you are the dude, brother. You crushed old boy in the jungle with Rome. You are the dude.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us on a fine Friday around here. Remember that I've got Sunday morning football coming up this weekend, so we'll have instantaneous reaction to the Saturday playoff games. You won't have to wait until Monday to get my thoughts on what happened in the two Saturday divisional round playoff games, and then preview Sunday's action. Sunday morning football, all the same places you hear the DA show. Coming up beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern time Sunday morning, 6 a.m. Pacific. Dave tweets me a picture of the Wikipedia profiles of Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, both putting them at 5'11". Let me just tell you this. Everybody that's been around Kyler Murray tells you he ain't even 5'10". Everybody that's been around Kyler Murray knows that the Oklahoma Sooners have jumped his height, and he's more between 5'8 and 5'9". So don't believe what you read. Obviously, those profiles are very generic, that you get listings from the teams, especially when they get rounded up and things like Wikipedia, not accurate. He is not 5'11". And nor is Russell Wilson, by the way. It doesn't matter to Russell Wilson. I mean, he's been great. But Kyler Murray is shorter than Russell Wilson by a good inch, inch and a half. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Terry's next up in Boise, listening to CBS Sports Radio there on the ticket. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, what's up, DA?
How you doing?
Oh, doing all right, man. Hey, I wanted to speak on behalf of Raider fans, man. It would make me nothing happier than to watch Tom Brady lose after the good old Tuck rule.
Okay, this is interesting. As a Raiders fan, you'd rather see Brady lose than the Chargers or the Chiefs, two divisional rivals.
Dude, honestly, right now, I'm going to be a temporary Chargers fan for one day.
Just to see the Patriots eliminated.
That would make me so happy.
You speak the truth. You speak everybody's truth here. I think unless you're a Patriots fan, you are just dying for New England to be eliminated from the playoffs just about every single year.
Amen. Hey, I'll go ahead and hang up and listen, brother.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Is that fair to say that unless you are a Patriots fan, you're always rooting against the Patriots?
Yes.
I don't think you can be really neutral on them. Like, oh, let me just strap in for a good game.
You could have been for years, not anymore. After winning year after year after year.
What was the tipping point then?
For me?
I think in general. What do you think the tipping point was?
I think the tipping point was the first time Spygate came out.
Okay, so 07.
07. I think at that point they had already won four championships.
Three.
Three, okay. And then you had found out that they were cheating along the way. And I think at that point, enough. You've won your three rigs and your cheaters, get them out. And then throughout the time, they win a couple more. You had Deflategate come out, and that has only just grown the legend of hatred.
Okay. Pete, when do you think it flipped for America when people started hating the Patriots?
I think the Carolina Super Bowl.
Oh, that's pretty early. So that's like 03 by, yeah. by year I, number two. That's their second championship.
I think people were starting to get sick of them then. That for me, at least, I was really tired of them.
So you're sick of the Patriots for now 13 years.
I'll give them a, pass. Yes, I'll give them a pass on the first one. But after that, you know, that was it.
I rooted for the Patriots in the first one. I thought it was such a cool story following 9/11 to have that Patriots team come out of nowhere. The Patriots had never won a Super Bowl before. Brady was a great story. The defense was a great story. Belichick's redemption at that time was a great story. Obviously, they played in that dumpy Foxborough Stadium that was all benches. And I really was pulling for the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Post 9/11, the idea that Patriots could win the Super Bowl was
pretty
cool.
I just said that.
Oh, I didn't hear that part of it.
Are you listening?
Yeah, every word.
They won.
And I was pulling for them. And then to go up against the greatest show on turf was amazing. You know, the way that they kind of strangled that defense, a brilliant defensive game plan by Belichick in 01. And you just, I thought it was easy to get sucked into how great and how fun that Super Bowl upset was. One of the great upsets in NFL history. And then, yeah, I think it was fine through the first three championships. And then they got to 07. And remember, that was after Spygate, as Mraz mentioned. And remember, they really tried to dismantle everybody. They were trying to shove it in people's faces. They were remember, they blew out Washington and Joe Gibbs by like 40 points. And people said, hey, Joe Gibbs is like the best guy ever. Do you really need to shove it down their throats? And they were really going for screw you, everybody. And so there they started to become, I think, the villain. And I think where it flipped was, do you remember the Monday night game against the Ravens? Undefeated season, in the red zone, Ravens had them stopped, and then there was a crazy flag that came out of nowhere to save them, and then the timeout, I believe, by Rex Ryan as a defensive coordinator of the Ravens that stopped the fourth down spot. And that the Patriots ended up winning that game. And it felt like they're getting the benefit of every call now, every break, and they're trying to shove it down everybody's throats. Okay, now you're inherently unlikable. And when the Giants get the helmet catch, I think that saved America in many ways. I think David Tyree's helmet catch saved America, because could you imagine if in the middle of this dominance there was also the only 19-0 season ever? I don't think that's good for anybody. I don't think it's good for democracy. I don't think it's good for freedom. I certainly don't think it's good for America. And so thankfully, the New York Giants were able to save democracy on that night in Phoenix.
The Giants saved America. By the way, I think that Raven game, was that the Bart Scott threw the flag into the crowd game?
Correct, yes. Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Threw it right at Robbie Rosenhaus, said, here's for your wedding.
All right, let's get to Mraz's up the gut picks. Every single week he makes his NFL picks, even through the postseason, I learn.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's up the gut only on the DA show.
Mraz is a very healthy 30-22-2, 8 games over .500. So he's making you money if you listen to his picks. Let's start with the Colts and the Chiefs. He believes the Colts are the team that will win on the road this week. And we're asking everybody that's listening out there which road team will win. All the home teams are the favorites. The Colts plus the 5. Do you not only like the Colts plus the five, but also on the money line?
I will bet the money line tomorrow. When I wake up and I, you know, go make the bagel run and I figure everything out, tomorrow I will make a Colt money line bet. But if we're purely going with spreads and we're forgetting the money line, if I like them to win, I got to like them with the points. And this is actually a significant amount of points. Five may not seem like a lot, but it certainly is. So maybe if you trust this to be a close game, or maybe you get a Harrison Butker field goal late, something like that, or if it's a 24-20 played in that range, you're still going to cover here. But as I mentioned to you earlier, look, Chiefs defense, Achilles heel the whole year. The one thing they do is go sack quarterbacks. The one thing the Colts do is don't allow suddenly Andrew Luck to be sacked because of everything they've done on the offensive line. I think the Colts are going to find a way to control the trenches, and therefore I think the Colts are going to find a way to win this game. And we're left sitting there going, oh boy, did Andy Reid and the Chiefs do this again? But the outlier will be at least Patrick Mahomes has a game of playoff experience. Give me the Colts on the road in Arrowhead.
Let's go to the other AFC divisional round game. Chargers and the Patriots. We talked a lot about this in the first hour of the show. Patriots are favored by 4 points, but Mraz is again going with the road team. You like the Chargers plus the four.
Yeah, and you can throw all the quirky stuff. Phillip Rivers 1-3 all time in freezing weather playoff games. And the idea, though, on the other side that the Chargers haven't lost a game this year in which they've had to take a flight to it. I find both of those things fascinating. But what this really comes down to, while everybody focuses on Phillip Rivers and the pressure and the run, it's about the defense for the Chargers. And Gus Bradley's master plan against the Ravens was phenomenal. Their master plan this week is pretty simple. Hit Tom Brady and keep hitting him. You know, they've drafted year after year after year when they have an Ingram. And then you draft Joey Bosa. They were built for this game and built for this moment. When the Ravens have gone into New England and won, when the Jets went into New England and won, it was all about hitting Tom Brady. And that's what the Chargers are going to do in this game. Man, I love this number at 4. Give me the Chargers. Potential upset. I don't know that bet at money line, but those 4 points, too much for this Patriot team to lay versus that defense.
So it's a couple of points you bring up that I did not bring up and why I picked the Chargers to win this game. The Chargers, not only are the Patriots clearly vulnerable this year compared to previous Patriots editions, but the Chargers have been absolutely perfect on the road. The only time they have lost on the road this year is when they took a bus to play the Rams at the Coliseum. Every time they have boarded a flight, as Mraz said, they have won the football game. They are amazing in this way. Something to factor in Sunday's game. By the way, would it not just be perfectly coming up the NFL, because the NFL seems to always come up the NFL, if the NFL got an AFC championship game in Los Angeles? Football's back in LA, and if the Colts and Chargers both win, it's the Colts going to LA to take on the Chargers in that soccer stadium in the AFC championship game, and the Rams could very well be in the NFC Championship game and perhaps even hosting. We could be 2 years into the LA experiment, really three for the Rams, with an all-LA Super Bowl, and the NFL would once again laugh its way to the bank.
Yeah, traffic shouldn't be a problem that Sunday if that's the case.
And finally, the Rams, as we talk about, will be hosting the Cowboys. They are favored by 7. And Mraz, you like the Rams to win easily.
I woke up on Monday going, geez, there's something about this Cowboy team. I think they could go take out the Rams. By the end of the week, and we've reached Friday, not so much. I think the Rams really slipped, and kind of the moment they clinched the division, took their foot off the gas a little bit. And the Cooper Kupp injury was significant to Jared Goff. He lost the safety blanket. And Todd Gurley wasn't healthy down the stretch either. From all reports, Gurley is back. Gurley is healthy. Sean McVay, everybody wants to hire the next Sean McVay. He's yet to win a playoff game. There's a lot of pressure on them here. I think the bloom comes off the Cowboys' rose by the second half of this game. Be interesting in the first half, but I think by the fourth quarter, the Rams start putting it on them, and I think this ends up being the biggest blowout of the weekend, and the Rams win this game by 17-plus points.
Bigger than Saints-Eagles.
I kept saying, and that's why I stayed away from in my picks, I think the Saints win. Something about Nick Foles' magic is just scaring me just a little bit. But yeah, I do think by the end of the fourth quarter, the Rams are going to run this up and win this game by about 17 points.
All right, you're always undefeated football food of the week. I've never even heard of this. Goulash poppers. I know what goulash is, but goulash poppers?
Goulash poppers. This is a late entry. I actually got this recipe last night when I was in a Stu Leonard's on Long Island. Mm. They were selling goulash in their buffet, and I was talking to one of the chefs there who was putting some food out.
Oh.
And he was talking about how you can make them in snack form because they have these chicken cordon bleu bites. So I talked to him about this. Turns out it's very simple. Get a London broil, okay? Cut the London broil into cubes before you even cook it. You're going to throw that in a crock pot or a slow cooker with some steak sauce, whatever your favorite steak sauce is, a fourth of a cup, a quarter of a cup of some Worcester sauce, okay? You're going to sprinkle in some paprika and some black pepper, and you're going to let that slow cook for 8 hours. That'll get you a nice, juicy meat that'll just bite right through on your teeth. You let it cool for an hour with some Pillsbury crescent rolls. You're going to cut them up almost like you would a pigs in a blanket or something like that, and you're going to wrap each cube in a piece of crescent roll. Put those in the oven for 8 to 10 minutes until that crescent roll gets golden brown, and you're going to have, served with toothpicks, crescent roll, a little flaky, with that tender, easy, slow-cooked goulash in every bite, and you could even dip it in a side of about ranch dressing, perhaps. So crescent rolls, slow-cooked goulash, a little dip it in the ranch. Boy, that'll be tender in every single bite.
So meat in bread with ranch.
Yeah, but it's tender and juicy. It's goulash,
no,
baby.
It is. No,
it's
the
fish of the weekend. Have your goulash.
Goulash bites.
Goulash poppers. Like a jalapeno popper.
Goulash poppers. Your football food of the week when we come back. Can Dallas ride Zeke to an upset win this weekend? DA, CBS Sports Radio. Goulash poppers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.